Start, we'll go ahead and get started in the board, please. I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, May 8th, 2017. And it has been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda tonight is the approval of the executive session minutes of April 27th meeting.
Move to approve.
I have a motion by Councilmember Loyes to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Sorry. Okay, I did not.
Aye.
Okay. The unanimous approval and that all council members are present. For two reasons under the state of a meetings law. First was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom this public body has jurisdiction. And the second is to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Next item is item 1C, which is the approval of the regular session minutes.
One change, Mayor. Page 3 of 6, number 4, I guess about the third line up, we have gross value weight for GVW should be gross vehicle weight for GVW.
Ah, okay, very good.
That's just something minor. Other than that, with that change, we can approve.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the regular session minutes of April 24th with the correction. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. So passes again unanimously. And fourth, we have the approval of the utility funds work session, which was held on May 1st.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the work session minutes by Councilman Attindall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I was just abstaining on that.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's 4-0. All right. The next one, number two item on our agenda, is a presentation by the Salisbury University Environmental Studies Senior Seminar.
And if we'll, so, Mayor and Council, these are students from the Environmental Studies Senior Seminar. Their professor is Sarah Surrey. Sarah and I met a while ago and concocted the idea of having the students come and study environmental programs. And tonight, they're here to share with you the results of their study so far.
Yeah.
So, where do you guys
want to
start?
Yes. And so just say your name when you're speaking. That way, we have that. Because just so you know, we are recording the meeting, and it also helps for accuracy, and also people can listen to the end.
Hi, my name is Erin Post. Thank you so much for allowing us to speak this evening. I'm excited to represent the Salisbury University Environmental Studies Senior Seminar class taught by Dr. Surak. Over the course of the semester, we have had the opportunity to learn more about the town of Berlin and to work with local government officials, businesses, organizations, and citizens. This evening, we will share with you the progress of our efforts. Our course is structured around Karen Lipton's book, Eco-Villages, Lessons for a Sustainable Community. In her text, she describes four components key to success in sustainable communities: economy, ecology, community, and consciousness. Accordingly, our class has been divided into corresponding groups, and each group has used Lipton's framework as well as independent research to design the projects we will present tonight. I would like to thank Berlin's government, business, and community members for collaborating with us. We are proud to have these projects to share with you this evening. I will now pass it to Laura Bosland and to present our community group and our work.
Thank you. My name is Laura Bosland, and as stated, I'm a member of the community group along with Aaron Post and Zachary White. Our group has come up with a proposal for the town of Berlin that we will be making available to you tonight. And our big idea is not another sustainability project for you guys to undertake necessarily, but a way to bolster Berlin's ongoing green projects and bring together the various community members who are working on these issues, as well as those who would like to lend their support. We propose that Berlin host an annual green festival as a way to celebrate the town's green successes, spread awareness about ongoing green initiatives, share information, recruit volunteers, and to most importantly, put like-minded community members in touch with one another. We envision the Green Festival as a day filled with fun, food, music, crafts, games, and local vendors, things all you guys are used to. It would be a great venue to offer a hazardous recycling collection drop-off as well. Think of batteries, e-waste, prescriptions, etc. We've included a brochure from Boonesboro's Green Festival to serve as an example. Organizations and businesses could have tables sharing literature and information about their green projects throughout Berlin, as well as to recruit support. We believe that the Green Fest would be a great way to not only bring the community together and have a great time, but for community members to be able to take ownership of this community and its sustainability efforts. We know that this tight-knit community loves to throw a party, and we also know how committed you are to being green, so that's no doubt some of the reasons that Berlin is already one of America's coolest small towns. With your vibrant local music scene, your abundance of local artisans, chefs, and businesses, Berlin already has all of these resources to host such a festival, and we propose that you make it even easier by potentially combining a green festival with an event that you already hold, such as Berlin's annual Community Cleanup Day, as a sort of celebratory after-party. Our class was glad to participate in Berlin's Cleanup Day this year, and we had a table at Stephen Decatur Park where we played music, gave away candy, and showcased the projects that our entire class has been working on. Additionally, we used the time to engage with community members, and for those who showed interest in the green initiatives, we encouraged them to sign up to provide contact information. We also provided a questionnaire form for citizens to offer feedback for the town. This information has been aggregated and will be provided to you. Of course, it was a rainy day and we didn't have any local music or any craft, so our table was just a minuscule foray into the potential that Berlin has for a green festival. But beyond utilizing your existing resources, our group has also discovered a number of grants that Berlin may qualify for to be able to provide funding specifically for a green event. So a green festival for Berlin would not only be a lot of fun and a great way to support all of your ongoing green projects, but it would also be very doable. All of this information is included in our official brochure. My email address will be provided to you, so if you have any questions, I encourage you to reach out to me and I will answer any questions you have. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Daniel Hines of the Economy Group. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you again for your time. My name is Daniel Hines, and I am part of the Economy Group, as previously stated, along with my colleagues Joseph Matassa, Kyle Leary, and Wade Robinson. The goal of our project was to pick something to do with the town of Berlin's economy and try to make it more environmentally friendly. We came to the conclusion that we would do something to help eliminate the plastic bags in the waste system. So we know that plastic bags make up a large amount of trash, and they are not only detrimental to terrestrial beings, but also to wildlife in the water. So we set out to try and establish a program that would incentivize the use of reusable bags. We've worked very closely with Ivy Wells, who has already established a reusable bag program that's available for free in the Welcome Center. And we've worked to try and rally businesses behind the idea of an incentive. During our preliminary polls, we've found five businesses that have shown support already for the program. And all of the research that's done on trash has shown a strong correlation between the increased use of reusable bags and a decrease of the disposable bags in the waste stream. Plus, with an incentive to shop local, it not only helps to boost the local economy, but also the sense of community. We are working currently to design a bag that will represent each participating business with a logo, working as free advertising, as well as getting a green page running on the town's website. This website page will show not only the businesses that are participating, but also the incentives that they offer. We're hoping to start an ad campaign on Facebook in the near future as well. With an increase in the use of reusable bags, businesses will not only have to buy less disposable bags, but the town will have less trash to deal with as an added benefit. Our goal is to have this program up and running by the end of May, with at the very least a design in place for the bag and the green page up and running. If you have any questions about the program, my email will be available at the end of the slideshow. Feel free to email me, or if you have any questions, you can ask Ivy Wells. I believe she'll be able to forward them on to me as well. We are currently working on a name for the project. We have a couple working titles, but nothing concrete yet, and would love the help of the town to see what ideas you guys have and any feedback you have on the names. So any suggestions that you have, please feel free to forward on to me. I would love to hear what you guys think. So thank you again for your time. Have a good evening. I'm going to pass it on to the next person.
Hello. My name is Jesse Todd, and I am a member of the Ecology Group. My group also consists of Stephen Rosick, Tyler Enright, and Michael Lumps. To learn more about the ecology of Berlin, our group went on a tour with Jane Kreider, the Director of Water Resources and Public Works. We visited the wastewater treatment plant, the offline wetland, and the Braywater spray site. Berlin has a fairly unique and innovative method of disposing of clean wastewater. Instead of recharging this water back into the municipal system, wastewater is cleaned, sanitized, and then sprayed on a wooded area to promote timber growth. After visiting the spray site on Lee Road, we began discussing how this green effort might be tied to other efforts as those to support the declining bee and butterfly populations. We determined that this area was an optimal site for installing pollinator gardens as it would add biodiversity to the area and remain protected from the general public. This avoids issues of vandalism and bee allergies. These are the two sites, potential sites for our pollinator gardens. To support these efforts, we request that the Town of Berlin support this project by purchasing fencing for about $200. The fencing will help protect the gardens from being mowed or stepped on. With the help of Mrs. Kreider, the Town of Berlin, and Maryland Coastal Bays, we will build two 10x10 gardens at the spray site on May 17th. They will be filled with native pollinator-friendly plants that were on a list provided by Maryland Coastal Bays. We want to give a big thank you to Mrs. Kreider as well as Maryland Coastal Bays for helping us move our project from a proposal to actually becoming obtainable, to the surprise of our professor.
Good evening, council members. My name is DeAndre Todd, and I represent the consciousness aspect of this project along with my colleagues, Jake Blazer and Brady Cooling. Our proposal is for the Town of Berlin to create a green business initiative recognition program based on a point system to develop or to determine eligibility. This program will help the Town of Berlin showcase sustainability efforts undertaken by local businesses. We recommend that the town follow the same procedures as similar successful programs found, for example, in Montgomery County, Maryland. This program will help Berlin's businesses market themselves as green businesses as they continue to keep growing Berlin green. Visitors and locals who are environmentally aware and wanting to support businesses will be able to easily locate and support green establishments. For others who are not aware, they will hopefully become more in touch with these ideas. We will share our complete proposal for this program soon with the Town of Berlin. We are working with Toby Gilbert from Gilbert's Provisions to design a logo for our project that will be displayed in the front window of participating businesses that meet the criteria of the sustainability initiative. We hope that this will help local businesses become more profitable as well as strive for larger ideas and projects in sustainability while reducing the overall footprint of the town. By the end of this semester, we will submit to Ivy Wells with the Town of Berlin qualifications and guidelines for certification and who is eligible to receive the logo in their window. Thank you for your time today, and I'm going to pass back to Danny for a closing word.
Council members, thank you very much for giving us your ear for this period of time. We are vastly appreciative of everything that the town has done for us. Everybody has been very welcoming and very kind and very helpful in working with our group. As Jesse kind of touched on, it wasn't really expected that these projects would come to fruition by the end of it, and most of us will have a final product by the end of the semester. So it's been a great time working with the town. Everybody's been extremely helpful and very, very knowledgeable. All of our emails are at the end of this presentation, as we said. If you have any questions, please feel free to email us. We'll be around for a while. So, again, thank you very much for your time, and have a good evening.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you. The presentations were great.
We've got information with our email addresses that we can leave back here if folks would like to pick up and contact members of the group.
Great. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah. Seems like a very natural next step on the green community, green initiatives, and some new, fresh ideas. And hopefully we'll get some more people involved who, you know, weren't around for the initial effort a few years ago. So, you know, I really appreciate your time and the thoughtfulness that you gave to this project. And like I say, it's something that looks like it has a very good potential of surviving you for many years. And that's a part of life that is always a challenge, is to do things that last beyond your participation.
And it's nice to see that you guys integrated into some of the things that we're already doing to help move forward. Very nice to see.
Thank you.
Great job, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, number three on our agenda tonight is a special event request. The first is the St. Paul United Methodist Church 5K Memorial Walk Run. I forget how many years it's been going on, but it's been a few.
Yeah, yes, it has.
Is there anyone that's going to have any or anyone?
I won't be able to answer any questions if anyone has any. This will be the fourth year.
Fourth, okay.
The committee is actually, they're requesting barricades and the stage. They're the only requests that we're making at this time.
And if memory serves me, this is the same request as last year?
That is correct.
Move to approve this event.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the request for approval of the St. Paul's United Methodist Church 5K Memorial Weekend, Memorial Day Weekend Walk Run. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations. And I know they had every year the event's grown in numbers, but hope that trend continues.
And if everything goes right, Paul Butler will be in town from WBOC.
Cool. Excellent. Is he going to run or walk?
He might get him started off.
I've done it for years. He's a good guy. Okay. Next for special event request is the application for a special one-day permit for the Berlin Fire Company. Any information related to that?
I'm not sure if there's anybody here from the fire company, but essentially they just wanted permission to serve alcohol. They have a one-day event, right, hours of 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Do the application in front of you for Saturday the 13th.
Okay, and this is for a fundraiser?
Yeah, for a fundraiser, right.
Okay. I think they've done this many times over many years. Does anyone wish to somebody make a motion? Okay, we have a motion to approve the Berlin Fire Company request for a one-day special permit for, let's see, the date?
It's the 13th of May.
May 13th, yeah, there we go. May 13th, yeah. From 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Next is a request for funding by Dia Kania. And I think the presentation will be Claudia Nagel, right? And
good evening, council members. My name is Allison Church, and I am president of Diaconia. With me is Claudia Nagel, our executive director. And in the audience, we have two board members, Ann Augustine and your very own Carol Rose. I'd like to thank you, as well as the residents of Berlin, for your time and your continued support. I want you to know that it's never taken for granted. I understand that there are a lot of great organizations out there that come and ask you for monetary support in your budget. This year we are asking you for $10,000. But the takeaway that I want you to take with you this evening is that we work all year to raise as much money as possible on our own. We know we're not the only worthy cause that comes to you, but we do know we're an important part of the community that's out there providing support that's not found elsewhere. Our community is very generous in many ways, but without you, we can't do the work that we need to do. So I want to give you a few of those boring statistics, and we've cut out the Berlin specific statistics where we can. Last year in our housing, we served 162 people in emergency housing and 12 people in transitional. That equates to 10,754 bed nights in our shelter last year. And that's the all these numbers are calendar year 2016. 20% of that was Berlin area residents. 70% of those people exit to permanent housing, and 95% of them do have medical insurance, which people always find very interesting. We also have our food pantry. Last year, we served over 3,000 households, which comprised of over 9,700 individuals. 92% of them were from Worcester County. And we had Berlin households that visited the pantry 1,135 times last year, which equates to about 37% of that work that we do in our pantry. In our ESG program, in Worcester County, we serviced 51 households, which was 126 people in prevention and rehousing, and 25% of those were Berlin families. I mentioned earlier that we do fundraising all year long. We do six major fundraisers during the year. That equates to one every 60 days, which is yeoman's work, but we have a great we have some great volunteers that work. In addition, we also have various groups that do fundraisers for us and support us, and the total revenue from them last year was $65,000. Plus our major fundraisers. As far as private donors, which include churches and local businesses, they supported us at over $150,000. In addition, we try to partnership with a lot of the organizations in the community that can offer us services that we would otherwise have to pay for, from the United Way, to AGH, PRMC, Town of Berlin, City of Salisbury, and many others. We also have over 120 continuous active volunteers that equated to over 15,000 hours of service last year. And certainly last but not least is our thrift store on 611. For those of you who had an opportunity to visit, they do an incredible job and raise over $100,000 a year for us. So they do yeoman's work, and that was started by just three or four families that had a vision, and here we are from one little storefront to three storefronts. So the takeaway is we're really good stewards of your money. We make a dollar work $5 or more, and we just want you to know we appreciate you, and we're out there trying to raise all the money that we can because we know that you have really tough jobs sitting up there on that dais, but we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I just want to say thank you. If you could define bed night, my assumption is that that is the number of beds that were filled that year.
Yes. Bodies and beds. Yep.
Bodies and beds. And for 365 days, that averages almost 30 bed nights per day.
Yes, that is correct.
You talk about a yeoman's job. That is a tremendous feat.
Thank you. And I will tell you, we get between 200 and 300 calls a month of people that need help with housing that we have to turn away.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys have a real good retail outlet. I've stopped there a few times just to see what's going on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Bring us up to date.
Number five on the agenda is the naming and renaming of town property policy. The policy is in our packet, and Laura, are you going to take the lead on this?
Yeah, I put my name on the agenda, but really I was going to defer to the chair of the committee, who is Council Member Tindall.
Thank you. We have a lot of members in attendance this evening. Dean Burrell, I see Carol Rose, Mike Wiley, Bill Todd, and I think we're only missing Heather, correct?
Yep.
And over a series of a few months, we've worked together to review several policies, and we finally landed on one that Dean found out of Florida that was acted as our template. And we really worked to try and make it our own here in Berlin, and this three-page naming policy is what we've come up with.
And you did that in a matter of what, about 3 months, probably?
Thereabout. It was a very swift group. We worked well together. And
great.
And Dave Gaskell and Laura, I'm sorry, from the town.
So you had Mike Wiley, too.
Yes, I mentioned Mike.
Okay, great. But, I hope that, has everyone had a chance to look at this in your packets that was given to us last week? I'm very pleased to see that it's very comprehensive, and also that it has been done in such a timely manner, because hopefully we can put it to work sooner or later.
And it was done broadly with no real purpose, a definite place to start, but it's meant to encompass anything from a park to a piece of property that was donated for whatever use. So it's really all-encompassing, and we're welcome to field any questions.
Does anyone in the council have any questions regarding any of the members?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to ask any of the members of the committee want to make any comments.
Would anybody like to address the council?
One thing I can say is it was the most efficient committee I've ever worked on. That's good. So up there. They keep the ball rolling. It was short meetings, which everyone likes, and very efficient.
I kept attending.
Thank you for your help.
I would like to say thank you to Laura and Dave Gaskell for the leadership. It made it very, very easy to work.
Thank you.
Well, again, I very sincerely appreciate all the work, and not only the work, but the product. I think that's the ultimate thing, because, again, like we were talking to those young university folks just a little while ago, this is something that will be hopefully in use long after all of us finish our public service and any other service we're going to do in our lifetime. So I'm just personally think it's a great piece that looks like it has, it's comprehensive, I guess is the best word I can use, but also flexible, because quite frankly, sometimes we're not going to know about a naming opportunity until it literally presents itself, and this will give something to go upon so we can be fair to whatever the situation is. I agree. Does anybody have any other questions or comments?
Can I make a
motion? Sure.
I didn't know if I was biased or
not.
I just support it, and I make the motion to approve the naming policy, naming and renaming policy.
I think it's very appropriate. Thank you. Yes, we have a motion by Council Member Tindall to approve the naming and renaming of town property policy as recommended by the committee of the same name. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Again, congratulations, and what a great job. You all did a great job. Thank you very much. And one thing about it, it's great because you completed your work. Now you don't have to do it forever. We'll have something else to do soon, I'm sure.
We can dissolve that group, right?
Yes. Because we'll have a other things, I'm sure. But thank you to all of you. Every member did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, item six on the agenda is a request for a sign permit fee waiver. And this is going to be handled by Administrative Services Director Mary Ball.
This is before you is a picture of what the sign would look like. It explains the purpose of an animal forest. This project is actually sponsored by Assateague Coastal Trust and the State of Decatur Middle School students who've been working on the project. Unfortunately, they couldn't be present this evening. This is town property. It's essentially the town is providing the place and the purpose for the sign. So we're requesting a waiver of the sign permit.
And this is the State of Decatur Park?
Yes.
And by the way, just so you know, we're talking about big money here. We're talking about a waiver of $60, right? Yeah. But again, all this has to be, should be done publicly. Does anybody have any questions for Mary regarding the request? Is this the second season, second full year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the waiver of the garden sign fee for the Berlin Edible Forest, which is located in the Steve Decatur Park. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Again, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
And next, number seven, is a deed of dedication for the Cannery Village community, which is located on Flower Street and has been open for some time. And Andrew Hanson will be making the presentation. Hello, haven't seen you for a while.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I can't say I have a presentation, but I'm happy to, I guess, answer questions that you have.
I think basically, just to give a brief story, because it's really basic for the folks who are in attendance, for the press, and for the folks who listen in, we are just to kind of give them an idea of what we're doing here and between you and Laura, but make sure everybody understands what the request is and what the council is being asked for.
Sure. Would you like me to start?
Yes, that'd be great.
Great. So I guess globally speaking, Cannery Village is a 45-lot subdivision on Flower Street. I put together some notes, and I first spoke with the town August of 2013, so nearly 4 years ago, about this project. However, Mr. Don Bibb and his past partners, including the landowner, whose name escapes me at the moment, the gentleman who started South Meet Under.
Fred Gunion.
Thank you, Mr. Gunion. Conceived this project well before that. I mean, my understanding was it was going on for probably 10 plus years, if anybody, 20, there we go. So a long time in the making. Thanks to the support of the Mayor and Council, Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development, our investor, Wells Fargo Bank, Osprey Property Company, of whom I'm vice president, my name is Andrew Hanson, together with Habitat for Humanity of Worcester County, partnered together, and we applied for and were awarded competitive funds that allowed us to develop this project. Again, 45 single-family lots, 44 of which we have rented out. The 45th is a leasing office community center on-site. I don't have exact dates, but we got started maybe 2 years ago and completed maybe a year ago, a little bit less. It was a challenging project, challenging site. The dirt there was a challenge. There was lots of challenges, but we won't focus on that. The benefit and the positive is that we've leased all those to folks who are what we call workforce housing. So they're making between 30% and 60% of the area median income. They all passed criminal and credit checks and signed a 1-year lease. And with the way the project was set up, those are all truly fee simple lots. So the goal and what we've been encouraging folks to think about long term is to not be a renter forever, but to be able to rent that unit in year 16, which is after the initial kind of financing restrictions, consider buying that unit. We've further incentivized them through We'll be providing some education with our partner Habitat for Humanity and with our property management folks to make sure folks are aware of what's involved in becoming a homeowner and being a homeowner. We'll also be providing some home buying, what do you call it, down payment assistance, excuse me, at that time as well. So that's sort of the project in a snapshot. I also did compile a couple of other items just for grins, but I estimated that between sent and received emails, those have been about 10,000. Laura and other members of the staff that I think I've interacted with, almost everybody, probably received the brunt of those. The project was over $14 million. That involved buying land, doing all the utilities, roads, site work, landscaping, building the homes themselves, streetlights, electric, utilities, you name it. And based on my estimation, my calculation showed that over 20% of those costs were directly invested back into the town, whether it be for building the various utilities, roads, sidewalks, which is kind of being discussed this evening, or various permits, fees, for the electric to be brought in, the street lights, water, sewer allocation, impact fees. So I believe we made a significant investment back into the town. In addition to 5 acres of open space, we've got the new passive trail there sort of behind all of the homes that runs along Kitts Branch. We've got a new playground there that we installed, 2 private stormwater management ponds, as well as just the fact that we provided 44 new units of quality affordable housing. That's not your typical a giant apartment building, that have private entrances. In our mind, they blend in nicely with the neighborhood, the fact that they're one story. So that's sort of my background.
Well, it's definitely a very attractive neighborhood, I think, is the best way to describe it. Because I think historically people have saw these large buildings. And I think there's obviously anybody who would live in any of these homes would see that there's a opportunity for a lot of pride, and hopefully there's an incentive there to not only take care of the property, but hopefully to invest in it as a permanent residence for a lifetime.
That's our goal, certainly.
So before you, in your packet, you have the deed of dedication. You also have a letter from EBF saying they reviewed and inspected the project and determined that it's complete. You would be in this motion accepting the deed of dedication, reducing the stormwater and utility bonds on the project to zero, accepting the maintenance bond valued at $157,500. Well, we've got a copy of it in your packet, and Mr. Hansen dropped the original off when he came tonight. And you'll be initiating the 2-year warranty period during which the developer is responsible for maintenance or repair of the roadway and municipal utilities. So we did have a little bit of an issue with the stormwater in the roadbed several months ago. That's been inspected. That's been repaired. That's why I included the letter from DBF. At this point, it looks like the project's good to go, and the roadway and utilities are ready to be accepted by the town.
Great.
Just to summarize, so through our development, we designed and built Cannery Way and Green Court, which were both built as town roads, as well as the sidewalks, all the water and sewer lines. We did not build, but I believe we paid for the town to install the streetlights. We had constructed a pump station at the end of Cannery Way. So I guess to summarize, what you're doing this evening is accepting as town systems property all those improvements that we have built.
With the 2-year warranty during which you're responsible for maintenance.
Very good. I'm sure you're all happy to be at this point, but I think, too, it's one of those things where, despite the challenges, I hope you'll be able to look back on it and be able to use this as an example of what's possible. And hopefully it'll lead other communities, hopefully on the Eastern Shore, and certainly in the state of Maryland, to take this by the horns and make this type of housing opportunity available.
We hope so. We're doing another similar project on the Western Shore, not quite as... we don't have the luxury of doing single family and some other things, but that sort of led us into the concept of doing this again and again. So we're excited to work on that.
Excellent.
Where are you doing it on the Western Shore?
Western Baltimore County. So that is near Social Security Administration. It's Dogwood Road. It goes by either Woodlawn or Baltimore.
Great. Does anyone wish to make a motion regarding the accepting the deed of dedication?
I'll make a motion. We accept the deed of dedication for the Cannery Village project.
We have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to approve the acceptance of all the stormwater and all the utilities and public right of ways.
If I could just clarify, we're not accepting the stormwater.
So not the stormwater?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just everything but the stormwater? So those ponds remain part of
the private.
Private. Okay. That's good to know. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So that, with that said, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Excuse me.
Whatever,
late on.
I purposely wanted mine to be late. So Andrew could hear me.
No problem. No problem. Anyway, congratulations. And also, I understand that the trees have the natural barrier that many, that the community worked out with previously, the previous residents along with Clark Street. Started going in.
Yes, I have. Today, as a matter of fact.
Excellent.
I thought I saw one. I wasn't sure if that was one of yours.
Well, hoping the next time you're down to visit, you'll see a whole bunch.
Yes. Great.
Yeah. Wonderful. Very good. And we thank you.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate not only the council member, but all the staff as well. So thanks very much.
Beautiful project.
Thank you. Something to be very proud of. Thank you. Great. Next, number 8 on the agenda is Ordinance 2017-01. This is the basically amending the town's ordinance to redefine the term, what we term a truck.
I can start if Dave can jump in. This is actually the second reading public hearing for this ordinance. Dave, do you want me to go ahead and just read it?
Yeah, sure.
So it's Ordinance 2017-01, an ordinance of the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin, Maryland, amending Chapter 32, Article 2, Section 32-21 of the Town Code, redefining the term truck, being enacted by the Mayor and Council that Chapter 32, Article 2, Section 32-21 be amended as follows. The following words, terms, and phrases when used in this article shall have the meanings ascribed to them in this section, except where the context clearly indicates a different meaning. Truck means any vehicle, regardless of the number of axles thereon, with a gross vehicle weight rating, GVWR, exceeding 10,000 pounds or 5 tons. The term truck shall exclude any vehicle otherwise prohibited making local deliveries to any business or residence located on the street prohibited. This ordinance is introduced and read at the meeting of the Mayor Council held on April 24th, April 24th, 2017. There's blanks in here. That's why I'm reading this off. And thereafter, a statement of substance of the ordinance has been published. It's required by law. It's finally passed by Mayor and Council. If you pass it tonight, today's state will go in it. And then there's some adopted and effective language and some signatures underneath that. So essentially what you would be doing with this is changing the definition of truck to more accurately reflect the current weight rating that we have on our local town streets. Dave, is there anything else
you need? Well, I just wanted to mention the way this ordinance that you just alluded to is currently is that a truck is defined as a vehicle exceeding 1 ton, which is practically
every
car, truck, whatever you want to do. So this is a really more of a housekeeping matter to look back into what's realistic, what realistically is a truck.
Questions? Yeah, the one issue, I know we emailed it, we moved each other around. I don't, my take on it, I didn't want to restrict a 3500 Chevrolet or a 3500 dually from being on the only street. I think this does that, doesn't it?
I don't know.
I think that's what you all emailed around. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, this, it was bad, but
14.5 was the way to allow a 3500.
So that's what I don't know. I don't know what the weight is.
How much does that truck weigh?
I don't know.
I could have sworn you all sent me an email, and I responded saying I thought a $3,500
Yeah, so let's say you
email out is $14,500. Is that what David wanted to get
off of? That's a lot.
So the weight rating here is based on a recommendation by Davis Phone and Fidel, who access the town's engineers, that establishes a standard by which streets are designed. So streets are designed to carry a certain weight of vehicle. And their recommendation is to set the truck limit at 10,000 pounds, which is 5 tons, to protect the streets, the local streets in town.
$6,989 for an F-350.
How much is it?
$6,989 for an F-350.
$3,500.
So
$3,500.
Per weight is 74. Okay, so both of those.
What'd you say? For the witness?
Per weight.
Oh, I thought you said per the witness. I was like,
wow. Mr. Mayor, I want to remind you that this is set in for a public hearing, the second reading.
For tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But basically, we're saying that those of the vehicles sort of would be...
As long as there's 3,500 people we can get on that street, somebody with modeling in the house there, that's all I'll make sure it can happen.
Oh, yeah. I think that was the idea that we certainly wouldn't be able to have access to the homes.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. We'll now have a public hearing on this ordinance. Now opening the public hearing on Ordinance 2017-01, which would basically increase the definition of a truck to a maximum anything that exceeds 10,000 pounds or 5 tons. Does anyone here wish to address the mayor and council on this proposed ordinance? Yes, sir.
Mayor and council, I'm Richard Holland, Executive Vice President of the Atkins Company. I have my son, Rick Holland, who's Secretary of the Atkins Company Corporation, and I have our attorney, Gil Allen, from Salisbury. My question for you last week was if the Atkins Company would be included along with Berlin Farm Supply on being able to utilize Baker Street even after this ordinance went through. All of our trucks are over 10,000 pounds. We have deliveries that come in that are tractor trailers. Our only means of access, ingress and egress at the present time is Baker and has always been our public street. To the north on Harrison Avenue, that property, as I understand it, is owned by the Harrisons. To the south, that property is owned by Doug and Suzanne Parks. The only access that the Atkins Company has in and out of our property as a legal access is Baker Street. And if you pass this ordinance, you'll shut our business down. So I wanted to have some discussion about that. I wanted to make sure I had my people here with me so that we could answer any questions for you and see if there is a way that the town can get maybe us approval to go north from the Harrisons. But it would have to be something that is solid. And if it's not solid, if they were to close up that from our passing through, then we would definitely have to have Baker. So we can't lose Baker unless some other provision is made.
Chris, would you?
Yeah. We have been told, of course, by Mr. Harris, that the town of Berlin owns that section of Harrison Avenue. Not Mr. Harris.
Can you get a quitclaim?
I'm sure he probably would do that. So you don't have a problem. If the town owns that section of Harrison Avenue, then you have access.
If that's the case, then we will just change the barricade and be blocked off in the southern. And
we'll speak with Mr.
in and out in the north.
Dale Harrison.
As long as that happens, as long as we are not shut down business until this is worked out.
And again, we weren't shutting down your business and we haven't. And I spoke to Mr. Harrison sometime months ago, and also was reaffirmed. And we have been maintaining that street for some time because it's been our understanding, and there's never been any controversy that the town was the But we can go ahead. Anyway, it's been so long ago, there's probably no one alive who actually witnessed that, but there's no counterclaim against it, and that's why the town's going to maintain it.
So, and actually, the land records are up. They're not even in Worcester County. It was so long ago. They're not in that. So I don't know about it.
But in any case, I don't think that, based on, let's say, we all know Mr. Harrison, we've known him forever. We do not see that there's an issue there, and if there's any way in which we can, what do they call it, codify it in some way that is agreeable to all parties.
What you're saying, Mayor, is that if that becomes a problem, then we would be able to use paper. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying it isn't a problem.
Okay.
We have been maintaining it because there has been the understanding with that family for a long time that it was a township. So I don't know how well it's happening. They're the ones alive. I don't know if somebody's dead and passed away. I don't know what they can do about it. But the folks who are alive and responsible for that street, historically, don't have an issue with the town as we have been maintaining it and considering a public street, and if there's some other, blessing we need from above, then we'll get that blessing.
I have one question. Mm-hmm. Are we doing a public hearing for the street, or are we doing a public hearing for the truck?
We're doing a public hearing for the definition of truck.
Public hearing for the definition of, amending the definition of what a truck is.
Right. So can we move this in a second? Can we talk about this here in a few minutes? We're doing a public hearing for the truck ordinance. Definition of a truck, right?
They have an opportunity to speak. You may think it's the wrong issue. You can't
I was getting confused. I'm sorry.
Can't shut off.
Sorry. It's an old issue, but hopefully we're getting closer to a resolution by talking. I think that's the place you start. Is there any comments or concerns about the specifically about the 10,000 pound limitation? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Doug Parks, Baker Street. I have trouble with what this thing says and what's being said here. If I understand this right, anyone who has an address on Baker Street, the truck may be delivered to them. Is that correct?
They're delivering furniture or something.
And the Atkins Company owns property on Baker Street. Now, wouldn't that make them eligible for trucks?
Not to go over to Harrison Avenue.
If the delivery was being made to the
delivery would have to be made on Baker Street.
Then it doesn't.
About 60 feet on Baker Street.
Well, I'm just telling you, the way the ordinance has been drafted, if you want to unload your trucks on Baker Street, you can.
Yeah. That's not
a problem. Unload on Baker Street, and I could not use Baker Street to access Harrison Avenue.
And yet, I have one brief, just so everyone's understanding. The purpose of this is to then address the next thing which we're coming up. We're trying. Ironically, Mrs. Park brought it to our attention last July after we just passed the current budget a month before, that Baker Street was starting to really deteriorate, which is a historic street and the only street of its characteristics in terms of materials. I guess it's called oyster shell and concrete, and it's ancient, but it's very historical, and it's the last of its kind in this town. It also happens to be on a very historic street and is immediately adjacent to the Berlin Heritage Taylor House Museum. All those things combined is that the purpose here is to preserve that street as best we can, and what causes it to deteriorate more rapidly is heavy traffic. Not probably the volume of traffic, it's the size of large vehicles. So we are committed and have in the budget to begin the process of renovating that street, repairing the historic center aisle, I'll call it, lane, the center lane, and then upgrading, but with asphalt, the asphalt portions, which were added many years later. So all of this is to try to preserve a street that has historic value in the town and to try to make sure that that street lasts another, you know, several generations. I don't know what the life, what the left, the lifespan is left in it. But I know at least we have been advised by our engineers and people who know about highways that without a weight limitation, the street, the lifetime of whatever's remaining for that street is diminished significantly. Nobody can give us an exact date. So what we're trying to do is make sure that street is around for a long, long time. That is the reason for this. The fact is not aimed at any business. It is not about that. And that's why we have no problem with any deliveries on the end of Baker Street that's immediately adjacent to the two businesses that, I guess you might say, back up to it. Best way I can describe it. There's all people doing it. But been offloading there forever. And ironically, the deterioration is worse on east of the railroad track. And that's in the historic residential area. Yes?
Mayor Williams, do you understand that Harrison is not a public street at this point?
So you know,
if,
I guess
if it is not a public street, then our only access is Baker.
It is.
Baker was planned.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
True.
I don't know where you're getting this from.
That's not true.
That's not true.
It's just not.
I'm sorry. I don't know where you got that idea. But
the town owns a part of Harrison Avenue that goes up to your property. If you take the barriers down, you have access up and down Harrison Avenue. So what you said is not true.
But it's not public access. All three property owners, it's not owned by the town.
Dave, what's your basis for saying that the town does own it? Is there a deed?
I'm told by Mr. Harrison that his uncle, Orlando, deeded that portion of Harrison Avenue to the town years and years and years ago.
When he was the mayor.
I don't have
no title or...
And nobody is disputing that claim, and nor has there ever been.
Well, then could we, maybe a simple resolution to this issue would be a confirmatory quitclaim deed from whoever the proper parties would be for that stretch of Harrison Avenue to the town of Berlin, just to confirm that it is a public street, a confirmatory quitclaim.
We have no problem with asking that. We've never needed it. We've never needed it because there's never been anybody to dispute it.
But right. It's more of an issue now because if the ordinance, which is going to be discussed in a minute, is going to be limiting Adkins' use of Baker Street, then it does become of great significance to the Adkins one.
But it is a self-imposed limitation, not one imposed by the town.
Well, we're just trying to confirm that Harrison Avenue truly is a public street because that will rectify the...
I think we're all out for the same purpose there. I really do. I think
so. We would request a confirmatory quitclaim deed. To confirm that.
Okay. Well, after the public hearing is closed, then that is something that we can then just make, that the council can make a decision. And we appreciate your, pointing out what you think is, what you might say, a confirmation that it'll let you sleep at night. Because we're sleeping just fine. You know what I mean? And I understand.
Mayor, has that road, how long has that road been in existence, Harrison Avenue, getting access to Adkins Company?
Well, since at least the mid to late 1800s.
So the only time it's been closed is when they closed it themselves?
Mm-hmm. To the best of my knowledge, I mean, at least in any
open it
well.
Up.
Yes,
open it up.
Yes, sir.
My name's Gary Caldwell. I live on the End Drive in Berlin. I've been a resident here in Berlin since 1973 when I moved here, June the 23rd. And before they blocked off Harrison Avenue, that's the way we used to travel. Now they've blocked it off, you can't. I see truck traffic come down. They come down West Street, and they can't even make that turn because it's so tight. They're all up over the sidewalk. I've had to back up to where they can get around because you can't turn else you're going straight. They come down Baker Street. They're all up on the sidewalk busting it up, and then the town's got to pay for it. I support you on what you're doing, you know, and I think you know, I just think it's a grace or disgrace that you put the barricades up there.
All right, let me explain why the barricades went up. Last year, 3 years ago, the town came to the Atkins Company. Said, we're going to pave, we're going to straighten out Harrison Avenue, we're going to pave it. Okay. Prior to that, about 5 years before that, they paved all of the Harrison property, and they paved all of the Parks property. Didn't pay the Atkins Company portion at all. Then they came to us and they said, okay, we're going to straighten out Harrison Avenue, we're going to take the railroad tracks out on both ends, we're going to pay for that. Your portion is $37,500. I looked at it, and I knew that the town had never paved the section that Harrison, that Atkins owns. They had always paved the other two. They never paved Atkins. We always paved it. Mayor Cardinale had a problem. We had a problem with the drainage. Mayor Cardinale said, you know, I can fix the drain. I said, you fix the drain, I'll pave what needs paving right now. So we did that. But when the idea of us paying $37,500 now, and 15 years later, you know how a road wears out, and the way the trucks were going through there, and the cars, and everybody thought they, you know, was a public street. We just said, this got stopped. And we gave it a date, we went and got it appraised, we got appraised for a number. We offered that to the town didn't accept it. So then, about a week before it was to close, because I think I gave you, Mayor Williams, 15 days, I said it was closed. So just before the 15th of June, we blew the infrastructure right next to the Harrison property, still on our land, but it was where the old railroad track was, and it blew the water that was running to the hot fire hydrant. So I told Marvin Smith at that time, I said, Marvin, don't worry about paving it over or doing anything else. I said, it's closing next week. And we did that because we can't pay for a public street to be paved every time it needs to be paved. And we're not going to. Plus the fact, we can't build a Canary Village over there. It's 4 acres. We can't build a Canary Village. If we're going to pave it for whatever number of years, and we're going to pay for that all along the line, and then at the end just give you the road because you say you're going to pave it and start paying you $37,500, something's wrong with this picture. And it's been wrong, and it is remaining wrong. And it is wrong for you to try and bring on a resolution whereby that we are blocked from using Baker if it's our only access. Now, I agree. If you get that document, and we are sure that we'll never run into a problem with the North property owner, or you get the document that says you own it, then I don't think we've got a problem because we'll just switch the barricade. But if you're asking us to take the barricade down completely, not going to happen unless we make some kind of a deal on the price of the property because
Richard,
it's hard to tell how much we have paid over the years paving that property. So I don't know. And Mayor Williams, I think you're trying the best you can, but we're just not getting there.
Why did you stop talking to us? We're ready to begin the negotiations.
We would rather do a Canary Village is the reason we stopped talking to you. It's not our position. We're trying to sell the land. It's not our position. We are the seller. You would be the buyer. If you want a truck route on the west side of Berlin, then you're going to have to come to some conclusion of how you're going to get it.
We're trying to buy it. It's called purchasing,
right.
Taking something from the private domain and making part of the public domain. And I know that this conversation has gone off and on since Ron Wyerly was mayor. So I don't know what the problem is. And I know that we're ready to negotiate. We've been ready. And here's the thing. It's like a negotiation where the first figures were thrown out, and then we were told, I'll take us to court. What?
I didn't say we would take you to court. We gave
you said, go to court.
We gave you the appraisal. You gave you the appraisal. You know what that appraisal is?
Yes.
Okay. And you offered us a number that isn't near what that appraisal is.
So we made the offer first. Then you came back with you had two appraisals, and then you came back with a second one, which was considerably higher than just for the street, because for all the reasons.
But Richard, that is the beginning of a negotiation.
Well, let's get this done. If Mr. Gaskin thinks he can get it done and he gets it done, let's get it open through that one end, the north end, so that we take the pressure off Baker. And then if you want to negotiate, we negotiate.
Okay. That sounds very reasonable.
That's the fair way to do it.
Okay. I agree. Okay. Is there any other comments or questions from anyone?
I did pull the email up as far as the weight limitation.
Okay.
What it says, Laura, we would recommend setting a gross vehicle weight rating of 10,000 pounds on minor residential streets using GVWR. Eliminates the need to differentiate vehicle weight from payload weight. 10,000 pounds will allow your normal Class 1 and 2 light-duty pickups while excluding the heavier Class 3 commercial pickups, F-350, GMC 3500, or Ram 3500. If you want to allow these Class 3 trucks, you should increase the max GVWR to 14,000 pounds. Anything over 14,000 pounds is in the medium heavy duty category and should not be allowed on minor residential streets. So I'd like to see it amended to 14,000 pounds rather than 10.
Are you making motion?
I am.
Okay.
Can I ask David process questions? I mean, we have to.
No.
Okay. So go ahead and close the public hearing. I want to make sure anybody has anything to add before we begin the process of deciding what to do with this ordinance. All right? Okay. Well, thank you very much. The public hearing is closed, and now go ahead.
Now, Troy, my only question is, that's a loaded F-350, fully loaded F-350.
Mm-hmm.
As far as
we know.
Because I think what that email is saying is that in order for us to not have to specify a loaded or unloaded weight, it takes in the complete capacity of an F-350 to haul something, like whatever they would require. I think. That's my understanding of that.
If you want to allow a Class 3 truck, you should increase it to the 14.
Can you read it one more time?
If you want to allow these Class 3 trucks, you should increase the max GVWR to 14,000 pounds.
The sentence just before that. I think
using GVWR eliminates the need to differentiate vehicle weight from payload weight.
Right.
10,000 pounds will allow your normal 1 and 2 class light-duty pickups, while excluding the heavier Class 3 commercial pickups.
Now, my understanding from that is that it's a loaded, carrying something to its max, F-350. If you bought an F-350, you could drive it home. You just couldn't load it to the max and haul up and down Baker.
I ain't going to do bed checks on that.
I'm not doing them either.
you can, I make a motion, 14,000 pounds.
Okay.
If you, we can do more. I don't know.
You buy a new truck?
Mr. Parks might want a
3500
one day. You never know.
I think maybe we're trying to find something that works. It's not going to be impractical, and also doesn't tie up the police manning one, trying to man one roadway.
Right.
So and quite frankly, give you an example. Say, Highway Administration spent years replacing every median strip in the state of Maryland because vehicles are so much bigger than they were in the 1960s. The average vehicle. So, I can see that, it's a trend, and I guess if gas doesn't get real hot again, it's here to stay. All right, so we have a motion to make an amendment to the original motion by the amended motion is 14 to increase the gross vehicle weight rating in Ordinance 2017-01 from 10,000 pounds up to 14,000 pounds. How many pounds? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Let the record show that the motion passed 4-1. Thank you. Now that we've made that amendment, now we need to have a motion on the ordinance itself.
Move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the amended ordinance 2017-01. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. The motion passes unanimously. Right, thank you very much. That's again, one more step in the next part of the process is then to make sure that we can get this road in the best shape we can. And all I can hope is, and I think we all hope, that somehow technology can somehow preserve that road beyond what we know how to do today. And who knows? And maybe they'll be able to 3D, make a 3D printer that can reproduce it or something. Things are changing the best. But I do think that this town is committed in preserving that roadway for as long as possible. It is historic and it's important. And it's in a historic neighborhood. So I just want you to be able to know where what we're trying to accomplish. We all, I think we can get there. And we're certainly going to start. What's the work that's supposed to start, Laura?
On Baker Street, after the 1st of July.
Okay.
You need to adopt the budget.
Yeah.
We've got TBF working on the design and the bidding process. The actual construction is going to start after July.
Yeah, because we did authorize the design portion to be done now, so that as soon as we go into the new budget and that money is available, then we can begin the reconstruction. Okay. Next, we have, let's see here.
The resolution.
Yeah. Number 9 is Resolution 2017-03, first reading, which means
it started one reading on the resolution.
Oh.
You passed it tonight. You changed it.
So the council can pass it tonight if they wish to?
And I will point out to you that in the third paragraph, you need to change 10,000 pounds, 5 tons, to 14,000, 7 tons.
Okay. So, do we need a motion on that first, or do we just can we just a consensus?
No, you should do it by motion.
Okay. This again, this resolution, what purpose is here is to prohibit truck traffic of the limit, which the first thing the council needs to decide is that we want to raise that. What is it? Legal to travel along Baker Street up to 14,000 pounds or 7 tons.
So moved.
Okay. We have a motion to amend the resolution by Councilmember Purnell. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. So the resolution is now formally amended, and now entertain any motions to actually pass or turn down the resolution.
I'll make a motion that we pass the resolution
2017-3.
Okay.
Can we make it contingent on?
I think you need to, because we're supposed to have a public hearing on this as well, although you can pass it tonight. I think you need it.
Okay. Sure.
See if anyone wants to speak.
Yeah, that's good. We now are in public hearing mode, and if anybody has any questions or comments, please help us out. Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you. My name is Gil Allen. I'm an attorney in Salisbury with the firm of Allen & Allen. I represent the Adkins Company. Mr. Mayor, Council members, thank you. My sense from listening tonight is that there seems to be, and hopefully it's entirely accurate, and I'm sure it is, a belief among the council that the Adkins Company has absolute access, ingress, egress from its property north via Harrison Avenue. And that is, as you make the decision to adopt this resolution, if that is an assumption that you're operating under, in other words, if you're operating under the assumption that you are not in any way taking action adverse to the operations of Adkins Company's business, as we were discussing a moment ago, I would ask just to confirm that, to confirm the fact that Harrison Avenue north of the Adkins property is indeed a public street. I would ask that you direct the town attorney to take actions necessary to confirm that in the land records of Worcester County that be confirmed either by locating an existing recorded deed which accomplishes that, in which case no action would be necessary, or if there is no recorded deed which accomplishes that, to undertake obtaining from the appropriate persons a confirmatory quitclaim deed just to put to rest once and for all that Harrison Avenue, north of the Adkins Company, is a public road which would then give Adkins access in and out that way. So we would request that. And we request it because it's obvious that that is your assumption that you have as you make your decision on this resolution.
No. See what we're doing by considering this ordinance or resolution. we're trying to protect the town investment of and taxpayer money of the improvements that we're going to make on Becker Street. Now, we have, as a mayor and council, no control over the operation of the Atkins Company. That is not our responsibility as this government body. Thus, if you want assurances that Harrison Avenue is a public street or whatever you need to obtain that. We're not going to put ourselves on the spot for that information. And the deliveries of the Atkins Company, as I see it, whether they can be delivered or not, is entirely under the control of the Atkins Company. And, sir, we are considering insurance and safeguarding the investment of Becker Street. That's all we're doing.
You're doing it under an assumption that has been articulated very clearly tonight that Harrison Avenue, north of the Atkins Company, is a public road, because if for some reason that was not the case.
But you're looking for an assurance. You are trying to put us on the spot for gathering this information for you. And we're not going to do it. We are going to consider our resolution, and that's as far as we're going to go. Deliveries to the Atkins Company is not under our control. That is controlled by the Atkins Company.
Well, the resolution that you're considering now.
Yes.
If Harrison Avenue to the north of the Atkins Company is not a public street, you are having a direct effect on deliveries to and from the Atkins Company.
But I say again, deliveries to the Atkins Company is not under our control.
You're taking action which could affect it now if Harrison Avenue north of the Atkins Company is not a public street.
Deliveries to the Atkins Company is not under our control.
Now, can I ask one thing? You deliver from your building. Let's just assume that the Harrisons do own that property. What you're saying is correct. We could have a detrimental effect, I believe, on the operations of the Atkins Company. I have a hard time getting behind a motion without us first clarifying what this gentleman is saying. It sounds like it can be very, very simple, but I can see where it can cause a huge effect on a company if the only means that they have that is actually public access is Baker Street. If we can clarify that, I don't think we're doing the work of the attorney. We're doing the work of the people of Berlin to clarify that is a public street.
Well, the Harrison Avenue is open to the Atkins Company.
It's open now.
It
always has been.
The residents who live along there, the new library, which is getting ready to be groundbreaking at the beginning, it's all being used and has been used as a public street without any protest or any, what would I call the issue?
An issue.
Yeah. So if there was any indication historically or currently that was not public streets, I could see where we could share and say you have a legitimate concern. But I do believe what we have been told by the representative of the family, and I don't think that they would have ever be put in a position where they're denying access to people to their own homes. I mean, and to a public library. This is not about the Atkins Company. And in my view, this is my opinion,
self-imposed access problem is not something the town's done. You've done it to yourself, and you can resolve it in whatever time it takes to either. You talk about moving the barrier. You don't need a barrier, in my view. All we need to do is work out an agreement so we can extend the public purchase of Harrison Avenue, get that squared away, and then we'd like to talk to the next property. But we're not going to, you know, it's like you take one step at a time. And we try and figure it makes sense to try to resolve this in contiguous pieces, not just, you know, randomly.
The purchase is an entirely separate issue, which we're not even discussing tonight. It's just very simply, by the resolution which you are getting ready to vote on, that resolution, that's why it's coming to a head at this moment, that resolution will have, without question, an adverse effect on the Atkins Company if it is not accurate that Harrison Avenue, north of its property, is a public street. And you are operating under the assumption that it is, which is great. I'm not calling into question that assumption. I'm merely asking, let's confirm it and take whatever action is necessary to document that. And it's appropriate for the town to do it because it's a public street of the town. I can't approach the Harrison, whoever the appropriate persons are, on behalf of the town. I don't represent the town. It's an action the town needs to take. And I think it's appropriate for it to do so in conjunction with adopting this resolution, which is prohibiting Atkins from accessing and using Baker Street. It seems very reasonable to me. Thank you.
If that's the case, the residents of Brittany Lane don't have access to their property either.
Well, that was my question for you, Councilman Troy. Was there any paperwork when you created Brittany?
Sure. We created Brittany Lane, and we were required to improve the frontage on Harrison Avenue and bring all the street up to town standards, which meant widen it some 10, 12 feet.
Who was the property of Harrison on that particular
street? I would assume it was the town of Berlin.
That was one that made the requirement.
It was a requirement. We always assumed it was the town of Berlin property.
Well, is there anything wrong with, at this moment in time, just confirming that the town of Berlin does own Harrison Avenue north of the Atkins Company? That's all we're asking, is to confirm that in conjunction with adopting this resolution.
Mm-hmm. Troy invest in the street and put that money in the street, if it wasn't Berlin,
I'm sure he's way too smart to do that.
At least I don't know.
Doug, let's see.
This is crazy.
Mr. Allen, what are you fearful of?
Captain Elroy, that didn't pass by the Harrison land. Brittany is not.
It comes right up to it.
The Harrison
and it was all part of the same parcel at one time before our auction back in
Harrison land from Brittany to Atkins Company. That's Harrison's.
Right.
What were you fearful of? Here's what we're fearful of. We're fearful that you adopt this resolution prohibiting Atkins Trucks' use of Baker Street.
I got that.
Okay. And then, subsequent to you adopting that resolution, it is determined, or the Harrisons decide to limit access to Harrison Street north of the Atkins property, and therefore it does not have that means of ingress and egress. That's
what
we're
saying.
There's only been
one person that's closed the street in this town, to my knowledge. One person. And that one person can open it up and continue doing what they've been doing for the last 140 years. Yep. So just do it.
Move the barricade.
It would be a gesture of goodwill.
Is there going to be anything different? What's your proposal?
You're bringing trucks in another way.
Yeah, but it's
the way you always have.
Is Atkins still going to be in the position that we have to keep paving that street?
Your attorney said that, but you didn't want to talk about purchasing, and we're not talking about that.
The issue right now is you're getting ready to vote on this Baker.
Absolutely, I understand. Absolutely.
That's the issue.
That's what we're going.
And the removal of the barricade
That's an issue over here. That does not have any effect whatsoever on confirming that Harrison Street north of Atkins Company is a public street. That's all we're asking. Let's confirm that.
But if your client didn't want to put $37,000 into the street, okay, and we're the town is putting all those $40 million of taxpayer money into Baker Street, it's okay to tear that one up? That's where I'm confused.
No.
Just move your barricade to the other end. You've got full access. They've been doing it 140 years, as the mayor just said, and then everybody can go home. We can take the next step another day.
Well, we'd love to take the next step.
We would love to do this. It's very, very simple. We're not trying to be difficult, but I do believe someone is.
Is there any problem,
Mr. Mayor,
at this moment to confirm that the town of Berlin...
You can do that. Just as Councilman Burrell has suggested, you are free to do that. Yes, sir. There is no need for us to do that.
I would suggest that no new information is being provided, and I would recommend that you close the public hearing so we can get on with this.
Is that right?
Can I ask our town attorney, what is your recommendation? As far as, is it difficult to obtain that information? Is that something that a private attorney can do out on their own?
Yep.
And if...
And it may be difficult, depending how long ago this was.
Right. And let's just make it clear. If we do find out that property is owned by the Harrisons and not by the town, does that create a complication with this ordinance?
No, I don't think it does. No. The Harrisons claim they don't know.
Right.
The Harrisons have treated that street, or at least that portion of it, as a public street. It's been open to the public for well over 20 years. They don't have a claim to it. Now, I can spend 10, 12, 30, 40 hours of my time trying to do what he wants. And I'll be happy to do that if you guys tell me.
Then the I will. I work
for you guys. Tell me what you feel about it.
I think everybody's trying to find common ground here. And I would say, for whatever reason, and I'm not trying to defend it, I'm trying to berate either way, the mistrust that's coming from your position, I don't understand where it's coming from. Because all we want to do is continue to maintain Harrison Avenue and upgrade after we purchase the two portions that we know we don't own, who we never contended that we owned it, and I'm talking about the Atkins Company portion and the portion that's immediately adjacent to Southern States that, to the best of my knowledge, I believe is at least a portion of it. I'm not a surveyor, known by Mr. and Mrs. Parks. When we get that accomplished, we would like to upgrade the whole thing. And I just don't understand. All we want to do is purchase the property at a fair price for all parties, upgrade the road, and upgrade it all the way from Main Street to Broad Street. And do it right, and do it so that, regardless of what... and whatever you're able to do with your properties, and I wish you all the best with it, that there's a very good road that meets all town standards and that it's going to be durable for generations. I mean, it'll have to be maintained, but it wouldn't have to be... there's going to be some major reconstruction here and there, and especially as the road... the farther west you go, or farther south you go on that road, the more work tends to need to be done, from what we're told by the engineers, so... I just think that the presumption that there's somebody trying to prevent all this from happening, I don't know where it comes from. Honestly, we've not had a moment's problem in working and maintaining the Harrison Avenue from Main Street to the old railroad crossing, where is about roughly where the Atkins Company... we all recognize the Atkins Company owns the road. And you know, we want to make a good faith effort to purchase the remaining roadway, so that then we can then go and seek to have hopefully a good faith negotiation and purchase of the remaining and make Terrison Avenue the street it should have been a long time ago. We'll never know why it ended up the way it is, but we're all in a position to make this happen. And I don't know of any adversarial party that's trying to keep this from happening. So, you know, I'm saying I think this may be a self-inflicted fear, because all we want to do is buy it at a fair price and fix it up. And we, from everything we've been told, understand that we own and have treated this as a public roadway all the way up to the old railroad track, bend, because there's no more track there anymore, and that the portion from the railroad track to Broad Street is privately owned. And Baker Street is a public street. I don't think anybody disagrees with any of those facts, and we want to take care of that. And I think, quite frankly, given that we're a small town, a little bit of goodwill, a little bit of not acting like we're out here to cut each other's throats when we don't even have a reason to, would go a long way in beginning this process, in continuing what we thought was the beginnings of a negotiation. We'd like to continue that, and we'd like to continue it in a good faith way, and not assume that everybody here is out to screw everybody. I don't know if anybody who is. No one. And I don't think you are either. I think you have this irrational fear of something that doesn't even exist, and I can't help that. All I'm asking is for you to consider my words, but I believe it speaks for a lot of people. I hope so. If I'm not, I've misrepresented the people. I think that's not true.
My comments tonight have not been addressed at all to the purchase or non-purchase of the property. That's
well, you know, it's all tied together. And why doesn't it's so obvious. This is so obvious. And all we want is if there's a problem here, it's self-imposed. It's not the town of Berlin. It's not the Harrison family. It's not the people who live on Baker Street. It's not the people who are the leasees of Southern States. There's just one group left. So I just ask you to think about it. I think we should go ahead and proceed and let it, and, you know, when, good night's sleep on it, and then we can sit down and begin a good faith negotiation.
When does the work begin on Baker Street?
Construction work starts after the 1st of July. You need to actually adopt the budget first, because that's where the funding for construction resides.
Right. Does this have to be enacted or voted on tonight?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be.
It's
not effective until the 28th of May begins.
Because of the ordinance.
Can we explore this a little bit further to see if we can find a quick solution? It's an olive branch. I look at it as an olive branch. If we can put this to bed, no pun intended, on the portion of Harrison Avenue, if we can do a little research just to provide some clarity, I think it would be a lot easier to move forward with whatever we want to do next.
Well, I'm going to close the public hearing, and then if you want to try that, you know, basically make a motion to amend the ordinance in some fashion. I think, but I don't think we can do it for doing the public hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. If that's all right.
Does anybody else?
Does anybody else want to add to the conversation?
Please, yes. Sitting all the way back. My husband's not here, but Dave, I would suggest you talk to him because he does have information about what you're talking about. And he's not here, so I didn't say that.
Okay, I know. Is it closed?
Yes.
Okay. My motion is that we hold off on passing this resolution pending the exploration of whatever information CAM may have. I think we can find a peaceful resolution to this and put a lot of this stuff at bed if we don't vote on it this evening. So for me, it has too many questions up in the air for a yes vote right now.
Does anyone else have any comment? All right.
My motion is that we postpone the vote on this. All right.
We have a motion to postpone the vote on Resolution 2017-03 by Councilman Tindall for the reasons stated. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. All ready? So now, I believe, correct, David?
Make a motion that we vote on Resolution 2017-3.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the amended motion 2017-03, restricting truck traffic on Baker Street only with a gross vehicle weight rating exceeding 14,000 pounds or 7 tons. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Opposed.
Let the record show that the resolution passed with a vote of 4-1. Okay. So that was very interesting.
I would like to say to Mr. Holland, during your presentation to the council, you talked about things that had happened in the past. My reference is to one end of Harrison Avenue being paved and another end of Harrison Avenue being paved and things of this nature. And from your presentation, I got the impression that you have a problem with that. A big problem. And I'm here to offer you our apology for that happening in the past. But going forward, we would like to improve Harrison Avenue as much as we possibly can to make it a win-win situation for the town of Berlin and its citizenry and the Atkins Company. That old stuff, and if you feel that the Atkins Company has not been treated equitably, I apologize.
Okay. I appreciate it. I agree. I accept your apology, and I think everyone, you know, feels that way. But I think if you're going to spend a lot of money on Harrison Avenue eventually, you need to find out if you own it and how much of it you own it. And that is paramount.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cut it down the barricade.
No. It'll just switch.
Door patrol.
All right.
I'm sorry.
going to move on to item number 10, which is pretty important item. Not that the others aren't important, but it is the first reading of our proposed fiscal year 18 budget, which begins July 1st. The briefest of summaries, because we've had two work sessions. One was for the general fund, and then last week was for the enterprise funds, or what basically everybody called our utilities, our county utilities. The amounts, I'm going to give you a breakdown of what the total being proposed in this budget tonight for each of those funds are. Another way of putting it, departments, is the total and what that means in comparison to to the current budget year that we're in. The proposed budget that is that the council will be determining for which to formally introduce has a total in the general fund of $7,954,571. That's an 11.4% decrease from the current year. The water fund is a total of $1,192,544, which is a 15% increase over the current year, FY17. The sewer fund has a total of $480,427, which is a 2.2% reduction compared to the current year. The stormwater fund is a total that's being proposed is $1,499,451. I wish you could have found another dollar. which is a 29.3% reduction or decrease from the current year. And the electric fund, which is basically our electric utility, is $5,573,201, which is a 1.1% increase. The total for the entire budget as it's being proposed is $16,700,194. Right? And for those funds, the total budget, when everything is taken together for the current year, is $20,164,547. The amount that is being proposed, including capital expenditures, is for the new fiscal year, is $19,277,469, which is, when you take everything together, all departments, total budget, capital spending, and everything else, is $887,078 less than the current year, which is represents a 4.4% reduction compared to the current fiscal year. Obviously, what I would say is contact Natalie Pilar, Laura might be his first point, and then if she needs it, for any additional information, or if you want to confirm any of those figures, because quite frankly, tomorrow's going to be another while in crazy debt. So I just want to give you everyone an idea, because after line by line, on many of the lines, we've gone over those two work sessions, and I thought they were very productive. And I want to also congratulate all the department heads for, I think it's the best. It's always been done a great job for years, but I think that this has been the best. And I'm very pleased, as I think everyone's intent, is that we have reduced the operating budget and the capital budget. And, I know that's not easy, but we do appreciate it. So now we are here to actually have the introduction and first reading of the proposed FY18 budget. And Laura is going to do the honors.
Oh, it's very simple. So the ordinance number 2017-02 is an ordinance from the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin approving the fiscal year 2018 budget as submitted, which has the highlights the mayor's identified. This is the introduction of the ordinance. The public hearing will be held on June 12th.
I'll just like to say, sometimes when you get a reduction in the budget of this nature, it could mean that services will suffer, but that is not the case here in the town of Berlin. Yes, this budget represents a 4% increase compared to this current year, but services
decrease.
But services for the public and the citizenry of Berlin will remain the same in every case and or will be enhanced. Our quality of services will not suffer because of the reduction in this budget, because we have an excellent staff.
There you go.
Thank you. All right. I think that takes care of the formalities for the introduction. Again, the date for the when the council was the public hearing is June 12th, which is basically a month away. And after the public hearing, the council then has the option of passing or amending the budget. So that's about where we are. And it's always somewhat of a bit of a shell shock when you get to this point, because so much goes into it. When you get to near the end, it's like getting a sigh of relief. Okay, now moving on to agenda item 11. This will be the adoption of the council will be doing tonight. It's an adoption of the property tax rate for the new fiscal year, which begins July 1. The proposed rate on which this budget was based is the same as it has been for the last 5 years. Which 5 years ago in 2012, the mayor and council reduced the property tax rate for assessed valuation. It was reduced from 73 cents per $100 of assessed valuation, and was reduced to 68 cents, which it has been since the fiscal 2000 year. And that will be continued for the next year, as well as there will be no change in the corporate and personal property taxes, which are valued at assessed valuation at $1.70 for each $100. So what the council will now determine is the budget's based on no change in the tax rate, and if the council so wishes, it can adopt that rate tonight, and that formally begins the budget approval process.
To approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Council Member Goyas to approve the adoption for fiscal year 2018 of the existing and current tax rate with no change. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. At least the process has begun. Thank you. Next, we're going to have our departmental reports. I'm going to start with Finance Director Natalie Salee.
I don't have any further. Thank you.
And thank you again. Thank you, folks. Okay, please. Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Bowling.
Very quickly, the new public access system, as of about 4:30 this afternoon, is up and running. This is what the old system looked like, and the new system is, as you can see, just a little bit more robust. We're still working with it. We're still having to work on margins and things like that. So if you go home and look at it, you may see that there's some weird stuff going on, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
Huge improvement.
They went from the middle of the 20th century to at least the first.
Right. Yes.
The early 21st. Thank you.
So that's essentially the difference.
Yeah. That's right. And
very nice.
Hopefully it'll increase the use, because we're very fortunate to even have this access. Something that mayor and council decided many, many, probably two or three decades ago, to have that opportunity when cable TV was first came to this area. So we're very thankful for that. Thank you. Next is Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening. Just a couple of things. Tomorrow, actually, Aztec Coastal Trust and Berlin Middle School students will be at the Edible Forest tomorrow, working and remulching and extending an area over there, putting some tile in, and planting some other plants as well. So if you're interested in what they're doing, tomorrow's a good day to go check it out and ask some questions.
One comment on that, the teacher at the at Berlin Intermediate School was very happy. He's like, he's kind of like a play toy. Every time I see him in the hallway, he comments on that section. And he's really enthused in it. I mean, he's working, he really wants to get out there a lot more than he is, but just happy to be able to get there. And he wanted me to pass the word on to the council. He's happy to be able to help us do anything out there.
Great. Also, just a reminder that we have household bulk pickup on Wednesday for any of the people who get their trash picked up Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's only half of the town this Wednesday, and then the rest, the 24th, I think, is the other day.
Okay.
And then I'll be in Baltimore at the end of the week at a Maryland Association of Municipal Wastewater meeting and also stormwater meeting.
You have our condolences. Thank you. Next is Electric Utility Director Ken Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
I was laughing because I guess I really wanted Jane to talk tonight. I put her on there twice.
It's you again.
So I got it.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. The biggest project is at the power plant. This was an item that was budgeted over a year ago to have replaced. It's the number 5 breaker for the EMD engine. This breaker is a Westinghouse. It was built in 1949, which gives you an idea how old it was. It was actually recommended by the insurance company that insures the plant to have this breaker replaced. So they installed a new breaker. If you look to the right of the one with all the dials on it, the one to the right is the new ABB vacuum breaker. It took approximately 2 weeks to install this, a week to install it, and then a week to do what's called the commissioning of it. That's where they have to run it through all the relays and that type of stuff to make sure everything's working properly. During that process, we actually discovered another problem with the number 5 engine. There's a device on the top of it called an exciter. What the exciter does, that induces voltage into the main generator, which basically gives it a boost to run properly. Well, when you run it up to a certain RPM, the exciter started putting out a wild voltage instead of staying steady, which we could tell was an issue. So we actually had it removed last Friday, and they took it to Salisbury to have it overhauled and repaired. And we're supposed to have it back within the week. I've also contacted the Worcester Technical School down in Snow Hill, waiting to hear back from them to see whether they're interested in taking the old breaker from us as a device to use for their students in their electrical classes.
Yeah, let us know if they want to do that. That would,
yes.
That
would be great. I'm just waiting to hear back from them to see if they're interested in it. The second thing is on Intrepid Lane, the first row of townhouses that Pulte's installed. We actually helped assist with the installation of the secondary service from the transformer to the first row of the townhouses. We're just waiting for the inspection to come through, and then we'll energize the service and then install the meters and set up the accounts.
Do you have any idea how many? It's for apartment units, but do you have any idea how many units that have?
I think it's 39 townhomes, I believe. This is the first row. There's 6 of them in this row. First row on the right as you go in. The rest of the transformers for the entire development are supposed to come in next week. When they come in, we're going to go ahead and install all the transformers, so all the equipment's there. We can build the rest of it. Also, the other big project was the Berlin Library on Harrison Avenue. We actually started working on that last Wednesday, I think it was. We had to replace the utility pole across the street from it. That's going to be where the underground serves to serve the underground transformer to serve the library. They're scheduled to bring the construction trailer in. I think it's going to be for the
Great. Any questions for Tim regarding the electric utility? Next is a police chief. Police chief.
Jane, okay.
Well, Arnold Downing.
Prom season, so we're in the midst of that, and we're advising all the young people for participating to make some more and safe choices. Other than that, we're just in the middle of the event season.
Great. Excellent. And that, in few words, stands for a lot of work. and hopefully the Mother Nature will start working with us all. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Everybody's mentioning the new library, and last week we issued the building permit for the new
Yeah.
news. We've been waiting a long time. We're eager to see it get underway. Tim said they're going to be positioning the trailer this week, and then we should see some progress get started. It's already gotten to be a little bit of a crazy grass and weeds enforcement season. Carolyn's been busy in my office. We close to 30 notices of violation in the last week and a half, so people are getting the word that they back in the grass, because I know it's been a, kind of a crazy spring the way it's been growing, but that's all I have.
All right. Any questions for Dave? Anyone have? Okay, next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
I'll be brief. Good evening, Mayor and Council. First, I'd like to say that Wooden Octopus is having their grand opening ribbon cutting this Friday at 4 p.m. Our lunchtime concerts begin next Thursday, May 18th, from 11:30 to 1:30. May Day Play Day is Friday night, May 19th. I also wanted to have everyone be careful when they're driving through town, especially with Island Creamery being open now. The lines are a little out of control sometimes. So be careful. Sometimes kids will run across the street to try and get to Island Creamery. So just be mindful of that. And also World of Toys had a soft opening, so they are currently open. So go in and check out World of Toys. Bustle has closed, but there's another business that will be going into that building very soon. And that's all I have.
Great. Great. Thank you. Next is Managing Director Jeff Leewood.
Well, I say very welcome. We'll get beat up, I'm afraid. Started employee informational sessions, if you will, regarding the FY18 healthcare. Receptivity has been good. And then we pick up tomorrow with Water Resources. And then later in the week, we'll meet with Public Works.
Great. Any questions for Jeff? Already? Next is the town administrator's report.
In the interest of time, I have nothing to report.
Great. We'll approve that in a heartbeat. in the interest of time, I have no comments.
I second the two of you.
Okay.
I'll follow.
Good. I just want to say how nice the time, the town sign looks on the town hall.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Do we have any comments or questions or presentations that anyone would like to make among anyone who's
I would just like to reiterate what the council member just said about the signs on the building. Good job, they look fantastic. And much better improvement over the band at the state.
Yeah. Right. Awesome. Great. So and, it is interesting. People, the reason the banner stayed up so long is that literally thousands of pictures have been taken. They're all over the like all over social media. And we started to take it down one time, and then people said, hey, no, wait a minute. We bring guests in, whatever. So that gave us the idea to come up with a permanent sign that looked much better, and hopefully the people still can have their picture taken
Well, and you have the signs that are out on Route 50 that are almost identical, which is huge. The only thing, personally, the only thing I think is missing is a sign on Main Street up on Route 50 or close to Route 50 that is an approach to town, because you've got one out, I forget what the street name is, but out Old Ocean City Road. And then you've got the one on Broad Street that's out that way, but there's nothing on Main Street on the north side of town.
And we're very interested, and spread the word, because we're very interested. We will put a sign up in a heartbeat, but what we depend on is for property owners to allow us to use the property. We don't purchase those little pieces of property. They live with, and so, you know, as, and I'm hopeful, because the folks stepped forward before, maybe it's time to just give another little reminder out there that, yeah, we're happy to do that. Hopefully, without overdoing it, all the gateways, we'd love to have a little sign like just like that in all the gateways over time. And, you know, it's just one of those things where we're not going to force people to do it, but we're going to invite them to help us and see what happens. Not a good thing to say. So usually can happen then. So thank you. Appreciate your time. Comments. Any other comments or questions? Yes, ma'am.
I would like to know what the council feels about the campground proposed on today down that street from the Liberty Town Bridge.
Well, I can tell you what they think. The council certainly thinks. I keep hearing that this is a done deal, which I find which is really interesting, because I've heard this recently again, and. So I called Hugh Crawford today. I said, Hugh, do you know what the done deal is? and he said, what? And so here's where we are. We the last time, other than my brief conversation with him today, to tell him that we'd try to clarify the situation the next time it came up. The last time we talked to him was back in the first week of April.
I'm sorry, I don't know who him is.
Hugh Crawford. Okay. He is the person who represents the Carl Freeman Associates, who are the owners of the property and potential developers or whatever they end up doing. But here's the thing, they have a lot of ideas, and what we're inspecting, because what we did is we explained to them and asked for the postponement, because they totally understood that we're not an uninterested bystander. No, we are the community literally next door. We feel that whatever is done there, if anything, is within the sphere of influence of our community. It's not like if it was 7 miles from here, we'd have nothing to say about it. But it's not in town, and it's not immediately adjacent to town. But it's when what we all consider will have an impact on the town of some sort. It's unknown, depending on what they actually do. The campground of the scale they talked about is one of the things they're considering. But what we've told is whatever you propose, the first thing we need to know before we get into any ideas that we're going to support, suggest changes, whatever we need to know some very basic things. Once you decide what you are going to do with the property, formally decide. And that is, we want to know before anything is done. We're expecting to know what we can expect to be the economic benefits to the town of Berlin and to the overall community. We want to know the project's, not only what it is, but its scope and design. We want to know what it is you actually want to do, how you want to do it. Again, this is for a project outside of the town limits, and we feel that its proper role as mayor and council to make these inquiries And we also want to have a traffic impact. We want to know what the traffic impact will be.
Well, I can tell you that. We have a motorhome, and I can tell you exactly, like right now, because of what you talked about in Baker Street, that's the only way we can get our motorhome from one side of the town to the other, because of Harrison being closed and Baker Street now technically being closed for motorhome. You can't make that turn.
You're talking about the turn there.
I'm talking of Main Street to Broad Street.
Yeah.
We can demonstrate.
And listen, we've all been around for a while. And it's interesting. You got to remember, the folks who apparently are trying to make these decisions don't know all these things, and they don't seem to be in any way averse to being, hey, do you know that this might be a problem? Do you know this might be? But we haven't heard anything back. We are expecting to hear something, you know, not years from now. I hope it's not months and months. I'd like to find out what they decide to do. But it could be anything. They could be asking for anything from possibly asking to be annexed to deciding not to do anything and just not change what they've got. I mean, literally, everything and anything in between is possible. So what we've talked is, please let us know, as soon as you know, what you want to do and what you are expecting from the town. And then there is, following that, once they got to that point, then if annexation is one of the things they seek to do, there is a formal process, which I'd like for you to elaborate on, because it is not a piece of cake, and that's when we want to get public input.
It's a time-consuming effort. They would have to petition the mayor and council to be annexed. We would have to sit down with them, and if the mayor and council were even inclined to accept that, I mean, there would be a very extensive negotiation period, an annexation agreement, and it could take months. That could take itself months and months.
We're not worried about this annexation right now. We're worried about what they want to propose, and we want to be included.
Well, Carol, I can confirm. I spoke to Hugh Cropper today as well about another matter, but this was brought up, and Hugh told me that he met with Mayor and Laura in early April, hasn't had any discussions with anyone from the town since then.
I have,
and in fact, he told me he hasn't even gotten back with his client.
And that's because he's busy. It's not because he's on vacation.
All we're asking, so and there's many, many, many citizens that elected all of you, when there's some sort of a presentation, the public wants to know, and they want to be here, and they want to be able to voice their concerns. That's all we're asking.
Well, you didn't see it, and I appreciate it. And of course. This is nothing, you're not asking for anything that is not a normal part of the procedure, not just during the time I've been mayor, but going back for decades. It's just, this is not, I keep hearing about all this, all these things have been decided. Whoever is saying that doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
Well,
I'm telling you, we are anxious to hear. We want the public's input, but I also don't want to put fuel on a fire that hasn't even been started yet. And that's what is a little frustrating, is how come so many people out there know so much about something that they don't know anything about?
Well, we're getting phone calls that we're trying to put out fires.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. Our mayor and council will not do things without the public knowing.
Of course!
But
I put this up to what is going on with the craziness that's going up in Washington, because nobody used to say we were like that. People just now assume that we're all just out to screw everybody. Why? We haven't changed. We're the same people. We have the same hopes and dreams for this community, and we want the community's involvement in all major decisions. And but it's just this difference in perception that suddenly, you know, there's like this conspiracy, hidden government, all out there in the dark somewhere. It's just not there. Well, somebody's worried to death.
Just wanted to know what you had to say about it. But I kind of wanted to hear from each council person. No offense, G. I heard what you say, but Tom, what do you think? And Zach, what do you think?
I think that we... Go ahead, Tom.
I'm just going to say, we haven't had anything brought before us yet, Cam, so I'm not prepared to make a statement one way or the other. I don't know.
Okay.
I've heard all kinds of things that they wanted to do out there.
Right, but they have to go to the county first if they want to get...
No, they don't have to. They can decide which... And we're suggesting that they might want to check with the town of Berlin before they go down that road very far.
But can they do according to the zoning right now? Can they do a campground there? Don't they have to get a...
They would have to get a special exception.
Right, so they would have to go to the...
No, not from us.
It would have to go to Trump County.
It would have to go to the county, yeah. But wouldn't they ask for a letter of support or something?
And ask for
We can't give them a letter of support or opposition.
We don't know what it is.
Yeah. And we also want to know more than just what it is. We want all of these other facts.
I guess we are just saying before you would do a letter of support, if we could have some kind of public hearing or something.
Of course.
To let the public know.
Of course.
The merchants I've talked to, nobody wants it if it's a campground. So I'm just throwing it out.
It's a safety issue. Number one, it's a safety issue with traffic. It just is. And anybody that drives down Broad Street and sees how narrow that is with the cars parked and the Globe over here, if you don't have sense enough to your own eyes to see how bad this would be traffic-wise, then you need glasses because it would be a disaster for this town to let a camper, 400 or whatever they want down there. It's just ridiculous.
And what? Oh, can I
go ahead?
Just
go right ahead.
It's very early in the process. Everybody's been privy to all the same information. But my email and all of our emails are available online. And if anybody in the community has anything they would like to voice and they don't feel comfortable either addressing us here or don't have the time to, please feel free to send me an email regardless of where you live. And when something does come along, it'll be public knowledge when there is something taking place. And two, whatever you send me, I'll make sure that at least we bring it up and share. So feel free to email me wherever you live.
I am missing an Orioles game right now.
This is not
going to so much.
This is not going to be handled any differently than anything else we did. That's what I don't understand.
Well,
why would it be handled any differently?
Yeah, we're trying to tell you that things get started, things get said. And we're trying to put out those fires because we know how you all treat your citizens. But we're just letting you know that there are things. People are saying.
I know. People are people. I know.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it. It's something else. And you know, whenever we find out, we're going to be sharing that information. But we don't have anything to share yet because apparently he was pretty busy. He must be a very busy man.
Yeah.
Because that's been over a month. About a month ago. That's the last time. Okay. But thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to address the concern. Okay. Any other comments, questions?
I don't have a thing to say.
Move to a
journal.
Yes, you are.
Sorry.
Don't get my time.